Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, this is Craig Ballantyne, and welcome to How to Overcome Procrastination and Stay Disciplined and Build a Wildly Successful Business in 2022. All right, so cool little story behind this is that my friend Bedros Koulian, he's such a generous dude, and he had this young man named Malachi come into his studio, and they filmed a podcast, and Bedros was like, hey, dude, to me, and he said, not to Malachi, he goes, hey, dude, you got to help this young man out, and would you do some stuff for him? And I said, absolutely. So Malachi sent over some questions about how to overcome procrastination, how to stay disciplined, how to build habits, some real trick questions as well. And then we talk about the skills and traits that you need, that he needs, that everybody needs, that I need, that Bedros needs in order to be successful at business. So thanks to Bedros for hooking us up here. So I'm going to go right into this Q&A. Now, as you may know, we just had a baby, so I wasn't able to do this live with Malachi because, you know, my schedule is all over the place now. But imagine that Malachi is asking these questions as an energetic young person, and they're going to be really valuable for you too. Okay, so the first question that Malachi says, he goes, Mr. Ballantyne, what systems do you use to overcome procrastination? That's me imitating Malachi there. All right, so there's three steps, Malachi and everybody, and the first one is action. There's simply, procrastination is simply not taking action on the most important things. So step number one on overcoming procrastination is taking action on the most important things. Of course, you need to know what the most important things are. You need to tap into your big why about why you are doing things. You know, so for example, you know, I was listening to this great interview between Grant Cardone and Alex Hormozi the other day, and Grant Cardone says, I'm exiting the game, man. And Hormozi goes, whoa, what do you mean you're exiting the game? He goes, I'm going from doing everything for myself to doing everything for the man on the street out there. Because, you know, Grant Cardone has a portfolio of $4 billion worth of real estate. He goes, I'm done with the small game. I'm going to go and build $50 billion worth of real estate. And I'm going to allow the average person to get rich in real estate because they're not right now. It's only the big companies. So Grant Cardone does not have procrastination because every day he gets up and he goes, I'm working for all the people who are not me because I've got the money. I've got everything I want, but nobody else or not very many people have what they want. And I had another client who I had a coaching call with last week, and he has six-pack abs and he has a seven-figure business, and he really was kind of in a funk. And I said, well, listen, the reason you're in a funk is because you've accomplished more than you thought you could ever accomplish. He's actually one of my high school buddies. And you know, we used to drink when we were 16. He was 16, I was 18. And you know, we were just a couple of blue-collar kids, and we went on to do something with our lives. And now he has more than, again, not only that he ever expected, but certainly his teachers ever expected him to achieve. And you know, he's got a nice financial future for his family, and he got into a funk because of it, because he has achieved everything that he wanted. And I said to him, Mike, listen, man, it's time for you to stop thinking about yourself and time for you to think about your team members. So the people that rely on you to have a job and make money and have opportunity, just because you've achieved everything doesn't mean they have. So the more money you make, the more people you can employ, the more people can go out and have nice homes for their family. Mike, you need to think about that. You need to think about the family legacy. He inherited the business from his father. He needs to think about building a business his kids want to be a part of. He needs to think about the community that he serves. He creates custom gear for construction companies. Think of all the construction companies out there that are getting ripped off, going and buying at retail prices instead of getting wholesale deals through you, Mike. These companies, you know, they have people they need to employ and, you know, really tight margins. And when you're not doing your job and getting your stuff out there, Mike, all these companies are having a harder time because you're not willing to do the work. And he's like, man, that was like a cold bucket of water to the face. And we got him hyped up again. So taking action. And action beyond just thinking of yourself is huge and having that big why. Now, the planning and preparation is key because if you don't plan and prepare your days, it's very difficult for you to get into action on the thing that matters most, because you wake up in the morning and you hit the snooze button. Now you're late and you're running around. It's like way easier to check email than it is to do the actual work. And so that's what I call a vicious cycle. And people get into these vicious cycles. So bad habit number one, like waking up late, gives you a bad feeling. And because you have a bad feeling, you go and do a bad habit, like, you know, drinking a Frappuccino that's full of sugar and full of caffeine. And that just makes you feel worse. And then you go to another bad habit and you just stay in this loop of bad habits because you haven't done the planning and preparation. So you feel like, well, how do I get out of the vicious cycle? And it is circumventing it, okay? You got to have a circuit breaker. And planning and preparation the day before, like if I plan and prepare tonight and I wake up on time tomorrow, I can go into my most important task. I can overcome the procrastination and do the action and get a victory and get momentum and get motivation, which leads me into the virtuous cycle. So good habit, I got up on time, knocks the one domino down, the positive domino, instead of hitting snooze and hitting a negative domino down, which hits another negative domino down. So that's what we want to do. We want to get into good habit number one, which gives us a virtuous feeling, which leads us to doing another positive behavior, because like I want to stack my wins here. And that is how you then move and take more action. That is what you need to do. And then finally, the third thing is public accountability. So when I wanted to quit swearing or when I wanted to meet Michelle, what I did was I shared these big goals and dreams with the internet, with 151,000 people on my email list, with the 100,000 people that have read the Perfect Day Formula. They read about what I wanted to achieve. And all these people would ask me, how's it going on your goals? And public accountability really puts yourself out there. But if you tell people that you want to write a book and you start to procrastinate on it, people are going to be like, man, you just make stuff up. You're a liar. I can't believe anything you say. If you told me you're going to write a book by March 31st and you haven't even written page one yet, like, who are you? I don't want to be part of your world. I don't want to follow you as a leader. So public accountability will prevent you from falling into that trap of procrastination. So those are some of the things. This is me sharing my story on stage where I would tell people, like, in a couple of years from now, I'm going to be married. I'm going to have kids. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, this is a couple of years ago, and people would always be asking me how things are going. And it was one particular gentleman, Jamie McKean from New Zealand, who asked me, you know, he had been to one of my events, heard me speak. And a week later, he asked me, how's it going with that? I shared a specific action step, you know, of asking my friend Vanessa for introductions. And he said, how's it going with Vanessa? And I was like, oh, man, he called me out on it. I haven't done anything. I went and did it immediately. Vanessa introduced me to Michelle, and the rest is history. And that's how you overcome procrastination. That is like the kick in the butt. But there's another thing that I'm going to share with you in a second, because when we talk about what habits help you stay disciplined, the habit of reinforcing my personal identity as a disciplined man who has good habits, like, that's stronger than anything else. When you believe in yourself, when you have the habitual belief that you are the type of person who is self-disciplined, who stays on track, who doesn't eat junk, who doesn't drink alcohol or drinks very little, who consistently exercises, it's not about, you know, hacking your way to that. It's about believing in yourself. Because I'm the type of person who believes that I eat spinach every day, and so I do eat spinach every day. I'm the type of person who believes that I get an hour of movement every day. So I get an hour of movement every day, no matter how hot it is, if it's raining, et cetera, I move every day. And some days are hard workouts. Some days I do a lot of backwards walking right now, which is something that I learned from the knees over toes guys about helping fix, got a little bit of a knee problem. A lot of backwards walking can help. And so I'm a disciplined man. I'm a disciplined man who does these things. And therefore I don't actually need help sticking to my habits because this is who I am. So my identity is key. Now, how did I get to that? I got to that through confidence, confidence from competence. And what that means is if you are struggling with a habit right now, like for a long time, I struggled to stop drinking. I struggled to stop eating chocolate covered almonds after I was drinking. And what I would do is when I knew I was putting myself in a situation where I was going to drink, I needed to have I found the strength to not drink three drinks. I would only drink two drinks. And that was a competence, right? I was able to do it. I set a goal. I achieved it. It built confidence. And over time, you just stack those wins time and time and time and time and time again. You get confidence through competence. And that's the ultimate habit that will get you to the position where you truly believe in yourself. Like, I am a non-drinker. I do not drink alcohol at all now, but I still can joke around, have fun, be the same as if I had two drinks. Okay. So it's very important for you to believe in yourself, to build that identity. You do that by stacking wins, by taking action every day, by being competent, which builds the confidence, which encourages you to come back and get into competence again. If you struggle with that, you're going to be in a vicious cycle. You break that vicious cycle through better planning and preparation, which makes the competence achievement and the confidence gain easier. And then, of course, public accountability. Public accountability is like the guardrails, right? It's like Michelle and I watched the movie Daddy's Home. It's Daddy's Home 2, I think. And they go bowling. And, you know, what they do is they have the bumpers up for the kids so that they don't throw gutter balls. And the public accountability is the bumpers in your life that stops you from rolling gutter balls. So get public accountability. My friend Xander Fryer, a coaching client of mine years ago, you know, he's been a coaching client for a long time and a good friend for a long time. And he stated to me, the only person he told was me. So he had accountability to somebody he deeply did not want to disappoint. It wasn't public accountability yet. But he said he wanted to find a great woman. He wanted to settle down with an amazing woman. But I watched him not do anything for like 3 months. You know, he'd be going to a friend's bachelor party. He'd be going to a friend's wedding. He was doing everything for everybody else, but never anything for himself. Called him out on it. And he said, what do I do? And I said, two words, public accountability. He did a Facebook Live to his group of 2,000 people in his business and said, I'm going to find an amazing woman in 3 months from now. And if I don't, then I'm going to, you know, you're going to punish me. I'm going to do all, you know, some crazy things he'd tell me to do, like running down Fifth Street naked in San Diego, whatever, but I'm setting a deadline. And all these people tried to help him out. You know, they set him up with their nieces and so on. And then one lady reached out to him from Australia. And the next thing you know, Maddie flew from Australia to America to meet Xander, and the rest is history. They're married. You know, they visited me and Michelle in four different countries, Mexico, Canada, America, and Costa Rica. We've built an amazing friendship with them. And it's because of public accountability. That is just like the magic that most people do not pay attention to. Now, how do you personally break a bad habit or vice, Mr. Ballantyne, Malachi would ask. And it goes back to that vicious cycle circuit breaker and the virtuous cycle consistency. The consistency of the virtuous cycle is where you competently act and build confidence, and confidence breeds consistency. And when you go through that cycle 100 times, 1,000 times, you stack wins, and that is how you become successful. On the flip side, if you are in a vicious cycle of bad habits, you need a circuit breaker. And I told you before, the biggest circuit breaker is planning and preparation. So if you are a binge drinker like I once was, and you know that you're going out with your binge drinking friends on Friday, then this is what you do. You go, okay, wait a minute. How can I avoid getting really drunk, really hungover on Saturday, ruining my weekend, making probably some stupid mistakes on Friday night? Okay, so one, I know that if I don't eat a big meal, then I get really drunk. So I'm going to make sure I eat a big meal either before I start drinking, or if I'm going to start drinking, I'm going to make sure I'm eating a big meal like pizza or fast food, some junk that just like helps absorb the alcohol. All right, so that's like part of my plan. Then I make sure I'm going to drink a lot of water during the day before I drink, and I'm also going to sneak some liquids when I'm drinking. I'm going to make sure that I'm not really tired from work. I'm going to have a nap. I'm going to make sure that I'm not dehydrated from being out in the sun. I'm not going to do anything stupid that's going to make the drinking worse on my body. And you do these planning preparation. The next thing you know, you wake up the next morning having not drank as much as you normally did because you did planning and preparation. Now, this is an extreme example. Obviously, I don't want anybody going out and binge drinking with this plan, but I just want you to understand that planning and preparation can help you overcome a bad habit. And whether it's porn or whether it's cigarette smoking or online poker, whatever it is, knowing that that is your bad habit, your vice, when you're in a state of not acting in that vice, you can plan and prepare to minimize the damage. And that's what you do at first. And that builds a little bit of competence, a little bit of confidence, and then you get consistent with that. And the next thing you know, you go from drinking 12 beers on a Friday night to 8 beers and 7 beers and 6 beers and 5 beers. Next thing you know, you're down to like 2 or 3 beers. Nobody notices that you're not drinking. You're still fun. You're learning how to be a good person, socialize, and your life changes because you actually have a full day the next day. So to all the young people out there and to anybody else out there who just drinks too much, you can get out of that vicious cycle with planning and preparation. Now we switch over to some productivity, and Malachi asks, do you prefer time blocking or to-do lists? That's an interesting question, and I believe it's a trick question because the answer is both. So I believe in time blocking, obviously, and I'm not even sure you can't have one without the other. You certainly can have one with both, and it's best to have both because one of them is good, but if you have both of them, you're going to be a rock star. So planning preparation for the perfect week formula. If you don't have a copy of this book, go to craigvalentine.com/free-books. I want you to get this. It's going to be a game changer. And so you build your business around your life and not your life around your business through time blocking. And time blocking being, here's a big block where I'm going to focus on a particular task. Now, you can't really time block properly without a to-do list because, great, I got time blocks, but I don't know what to do in them. Well, here's my time blocking. So this is how I schedule my day. And what you see here is at 5 o'clock in the morning, I do my writing. Then I have a time block for my wife, my baby, my dog. We all go out for a walk, get some sunshine. We have a family meeting, come back in. Then I have a team huddle. So you can see some of the stuff that we were talking about. This is just me screenshotting my to-do list from the other day. Then I have another time block of writing. And then I had a workout. Then I had lunch with my wife. And then I had 4 calls in a row with coaching clients from Hitty from the Netherlands, Terrell from Canada, Sal from New York City, and Patrick Daly, a superstar investor. So this is a combination of time blocking and to-do listing. And I planned and prepared this several days in advance. So that's how I operate. Now what we do is Malachi has some questions that switch it up. So we go from productivity and discipline and habits and all that stuff to talking about what you need to have in order to be successful. And I really enjoyed this conversation, these questions here. So he said, what is the most undervalued trait in today's society? Interesting question. I believe there are two. The first one is listening. You're doing a great job of listening because you've listened to all this podcast. But when you're in conversation with people, do you listen? Do you interrupt? This is a skill that I was horrible at for a long time. I've worked really hard on improving my listening. And I do believe my brain operates pretty quickly, which is why I felt like I had a little bit of difficulty listening in the past. I'd much rather read because I can kind of consume the information faster. Thank goodness for YouTube and the 2x speed, so I listen a lot there. But when I'm in conversation with people, I put my phone down, put my pen down, and I am working on improving my listening. So I think that's an undervalued trait because a good listener helps understand better, communicate better, and just really brings that human touch that is missing in a lot of our interactions these days because so many of them are just technological. And the second one is being proactive. This is like one of the most important attributes that team members in my company have, being proactive. So I can just go through every single one of my team members and talk about how they were proactive. So a young man named Aiden brought an idea for an Instagram post to sell more of our coaching. And he's like, out of the blue, I didn't ask him to do it. We have a team member in our customer service who decides when to order the books, you know, to replenish our stock. And she came to me with an idea on improving the book and getting a better deal and ordering another batch. My assistant, Linda, she's absolutely amazing. And she always brings new ideas. Like how can we get people from their initial introductory call into a second call as quick as possible? How can we make the path to success smoother for our clients? She's always thinking of these things and bringing the ideas to me. And so being proactive, especially if you are a young person in a position where you are working for somebody else, if you are proactive, if you bring solutions before people know there's a problem, or if one of the things that I had an actual job working for a company in the nutritional supplement world back in 2000 to 2002. And even though I was in the research and development department, I saw what they were doing in the marketing. And I proactively created reports and wrote articles for the marketing department that made their job easier. And I quickly was promoted and given raises. That's pretty simple. Listen. If you listen, you'll identify where you can help people. And then when you help people without being asked, you're proactive. And you will be put on the most valuable person list, the MVP list, really darn quickly. And the cool thing is, is that you can do this no matter what your status in life. So even if you're a broke student, you can listen to a billionaire and you can listen and hear their problems, and then you can come up with solutions for them. It really, truly is something. It's a great equalizer. Next, from Malachi, what traits and skills would you like to see from a young person who wants to work for you? So the traits are: one, proactive; two, be a learner, enthusiastic learner; three, bring positive energy. So that's 3 and 4. And number 5 is be self-reliant. Don't rely on me to solve your problems. Don't rely on me to give you direction all the time. Don't rely on other people to do everything for you. Start solving problems without a kickstart from other people. So those are the traits: proactive, learner, energetic, positive, self-reliant. The skill set is: I want you to be able to communicate properly through writing and speaking. I want you to be able to speed read or speed learn. I want you to learn as quickly as you can, and that's a learnable skill. You can go read a Jim Quick book and take some of his courses to learn and read faster. Number 3 is copywriting. And you don't have to be a great copywriter, but you need to be able to persuade me in emails, even in text messages, that your ideas are worth pursuing. Number 4, negotiation. Learn how to negotiate. And number 5 is sales, which is, negotiation is an extension of sales, but learning how to sell and persuade people about your ideas is key. Then what are the most important things to consider when starting a business, Mr. Ballantyne? This is our last question. It's number 1, you must solve a problem. You must solve a problem. If the bigger the problem, the more money you're going to make. And you need to have a hungry, growing marketplace. So, for example, if you're in the marketplace, I'm trying to think of a client of mine who is a good example here. So we have clients who are in food supplement space. And right now, if you're in the food supplement space, you would be best advised to go in to the over 40, over 50, over 60 marketplace, because that age category is spending a ton of money on food supplements. Absolutely killer, killer opportunity. Now, it's also a very competitive marketplace, and that's why you need to be able to niche down, choose a very targeted market. So that the third thing is have the ability to do targeted advertising. Can you find these people through Facebook ads, YouTube ads, because of their interests or their age or their other demographics? So can you get in front of those people? Because if you have a product or service, but it's difficult to get in front of those people, then it's going to make your business harder. Number 4 is having a long view of delayed gratification. So understand that you can grow a massive business, but understand it's going to be very difficult for you to build that business in 90 days. Like, you're not going to have a $100 million business in 90 days, but if you give it 9 years, you can. And number 5 is being willing to automate, delegate, and eliminate. If you must do everything yourself, you will never grow that business beyond a high-paid job. Now, finally, so there was one more question, which is, what are 3 skills every good business owner should possess? And number 1 is communication and speaking. Number 2 is the ability to speed read and speed learn. And number 3 is sales. And actually, the speed read and speed learn should also be speed connect. You know, grow your network. The more people you know, the easier everything in life is. For example, finding the love of your life. Because of my network included a lot of people, including Jamie, who nudged me, and Vanessa, who connected me, I was able to meet Michelle. If I didn't have a big network, if I wasn't hosting events that Jamie was attending and getting 300 amazing people in the room, who knows where I would be today. And there's one last thing that might be the most important trait of all if you want to run a business in 2022 and beyond. And that, and I say this as with tough love, is the ability to get punched in the face every single day, hopefully figuratively and not literally. But the ability to get punched in the face every single day, basically through having adversity, and the ability to come back happy for more the next day, is probably the greatest trait, skill, characteristic, attribute that a business owner must have. Because you are going to get knocked down. You are going to ride the roller coaster that an entrepreneur rides all the time. There are going to be highs, there are going to be lows, and you need to be able to get the lowest low. the day where your dog runs away, your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, tells you to leave, and you know, you get punched in the gut, and you need to be able to bounce back from that and wake up tomorrow morning and go right to work. And if you can't do that, then it's going to be very difficult for you as a business owner, because that is going to happen figuratively. Some days, literally, that's going to happen, and you need to be able to bounce back. And if you can't do that, then you know what? There's plenty of good careers out there where you can get paid $100,000 or $200,000 a year to work for somebody else where you don't have to deal with that. So there you go, my friend. That's everything I wanted to share. Amazing questions from Malachi. I want to thank Bedros for introducing him. And I also want you to go and grab my books that show you how to succeed in life. They're free. You can get the ebook and the audiobooks, about $100 worth of my books at craigballantine.com/freebooks. You get all my books. And I wrote these books because I went to the emergency room twice with anxiety attacks. And I wrote these books so that you don't end up there. And I ended up there because I was living in chaos. I had bad habits. I didn't have systems, and I procrastinated in life. And I overcame all of that. And I put these action steps into a blueprint in my free books. So go to craigballantine.com/freebooks to get the secrets to life, my friend. And then what I want you to do is drop a comment down below. Let me know if you have questions for future episodes of this Q&A type style. This is a lot of fun. And I can't wait to hear from you soon. I can't wait to hear about your success story, all right? So go out there, get out of the vicious cycle and into the virtuous cycle, and have an amazing life. We'll talk to you soon.